Hare Krishna, this is Dhanadhar Swami. Is anyone there? Sorry I'm late.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Yeah, I forgot the code, and this is a very kind of unusual day. I can only today give a class for a half hour. It's just a different type. I just gave another class about a half hour ago, and I'm to give another class. I have to be out of here by... Yeah, come in. I have to be out of here by in a half hour. So, the other thing, I forgot my access code, which mutes the phone, so make sure everybody there has their phone muted. And let me get to the verse today. What? You think it's 14? Okay, well, let's see. Okay, I got it. Okay. Reading from the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, chapter 6, text 113. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Excuse me, you know, I don't have my access code, so I can't mute the phone. So you can mute your phone by pressing star 6. Everyone should make sure their phone is muted. So, Sri Parikshit uvacha imad gopal devastach shrutva sambranti yantrita chantatas tapata shusham mukhaja sankaya kala. Sri Parikshit said, having heard all this, the blessed Lord Gopal felt overwrought with worry for his devotees. Scorching anxiety dried up his lotus face. He was filled with dread. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Saksurum Mritam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Kapitam Yena Bhutale Shayam Rupa Kadamayam Padati Sa Padantikam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasudevor Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ramo, Hare Ramo, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. One second, someone's trying to get on my Sangha. One second. Someone wants to get on that's never been on before. I've got to send them a message. One second. The code is? Then pound? Okay. Okay. A new person wants to come on, so... okay. So... I always try to put things in context. That's my... you know, understanding it. It's really amazing just giving a class after a week because I'm so firm in the belief that when you present Shastra, you know, you elucidate the text. You don't just use the text maybe as an excuse to say something else. You actually, and understanding the text means to understand it in the context. But I want to get more expert at making the context more quicker. So we know it's a journey of Narada Muni to find the topmost devotee. We know that our journey is to find Sadhu Sangha, because bhakti moves by the association of devotees, by their example, by their teaching, and by our service of them. Tadhiri pratipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshanti te gyanan gyaninas tattadarta. Just approach the tattva darshana. The person who understands tattva, he understands truth. And understanding truth is not just a theoretical thing. Understanding truth is seeing truth, and truth can only be seen if you practice truth. So one who is Shastravid, one who knows the Shastra, is one who practices it. And if someone is not practicing and just reading the scriptures for another reason, not to change his life or change her life, but he's reading the scriptures in the service of the ego. Anything can be used in the service of the ego. And that is material consciousness. That's what binds us to the body. That we so much want to be the center. And that, you know, a lot of politics is, you know, people, they're never satisfied. You know, they're congressmen, they're president, they're, you know, people just have that egoistic conception. And if you approach the Shastra with the egotistical conception, then you will not see the truth. You won't actually understand it, because you're looking at it from the perspective of how the truth can serve you rather than how you can serve the truth. That shift has to be there. And that's really what it means to accept guru. It means to shift one's consciousness, to shift one's consciousness. It's a perspective by which you see. You may have the most perfect vision in the world, but if you don't have the proper perspective, you can't see. I remember one time I was in a place in Govardhan called Puncturi, which is one of the most sacred places in Govardhan. It's where Krishna had his spring rasa dance. I was with Bhurijan Prabhu, I was with Satsrup Marj, and we went in this little forest. It was like a little kunj. Kunj is like a flower house. And then, as someone pointed out, did you see that Nilgaya? Did you see that blue cow? In Vrindavan, one of the most famous animals in Vrindavan are the blue cows. They're antelopes, basically, but it's very exotic. But the person couldn't see it because he didn't have the perspective. He had to move in another way. You know, you can see it through a particular thing. So, anyway, Narada is on this search for one who is filled with love of God. And on his search, he's meeting more and more exalted devotees, which means more and more intimate devotees. And finally he gets to Uddhava. I'm pretty sure the audience is familiar. And when he glorifies Uddhava, Uddhava humbly rejects that notion that he's a great devotee. And it's just natural, because a devotee is one who's moved in the perspective of servant. He's moved in perspective of being the... A servant never thinks he's great. Right? Great is one who controls. Great is the person in the center. great as the master. He never thinks he's great. He's in the position of servant. He's living in someone else's house. He's living in someone else's world. He's living in the world of God. He sees himself as the servant of God, the object of God's desires. He's ready to serve. He never sees. He's not in that perspective. So when someone says, you're great, and tries to put him in the position, or her in the position, the devotee rejects it. And he points to his time where Krishna sent him to Vrindavan, where he saw the gopis, and he saw that their level of love was so great that in the absence of Krishna, they could no longer function. But, you know, someone doesn't have their phone muted. I think what I'm going to have to do is I just remembered the access code. I just remembered, I'm going to call back and put on the access code where I can. Okay, this is Anadara Swami again. This is really tough today because I don't really have time to develop everything because I have such a short time today to give the class. And I just actually got off of another class in Moscow. Somehow or other, some people celebrated my birthday today, so they wanted me to call. So I just got off the class then. So let me just see where I can enter today. Somehow or other, Krishna realizes, and Uddhava describes what the condition of the gopis are because Krishna left Vrindavan. And Krishna is their life. Without Krishna, they can't live. They have the most devotion, the most love. And if you really love someone, then without them you can't live. And that's the love of the gopis. Their love is selfless. And that's what love means. Love means that your happiness, it's a shift. Your happiness becomes the happiness of your beloved. Your life is guided by what they want. And material consciousness is the exact opposite. You're happy when you're served. And you're happy when you can move things according to your desire. And the more selfish you are, the more that becomes the highest goal in your life, to the extent that you will exploit others if you require them for your desires. So the gopis are the highest. They're completely selfless. And Krishna understands now so deeply that in his absence they're suffering to the greatest degree, and he begins to write a letter that I will return, and Uddhava is his trusted assistant. Uddhava's heart becomes crushed, and he's shocked because he realizes, and we discussed this before, that Krishna did not returned to Vrindavan for so many years, and he promised to return. And Nanda Maharaj, when he came back to Vrindavan without Krishna, the residents were so brokenhearted. Nanda Maharaj somehow gave them solace, I will return. And then Uddhava remembers that instead of returning, Krishna sent Uddhava. And the gopis were just shocked and near dead. And then again, Uddhava said, no, Krishna will return. And now Uddhava sees that he's about to write this letter. He's about to write this letter saying, I will return again. And he's just thinking, if they get this letter and Krishna doesn't return, their love for Krishna is so great that they'll die. And I've even seen it in this world that, you know, in previous days, you know, there was no divorce, and to the great, you know, people would stay together their whole lives. And there would be some, and a lot of times I've seen when it happened in my family twice, when the husband died, the wife died shortly after. They don't choose to live. It's described. It's rasa theory. It's a theory of love. But you see in Vrindavan that it's like that. Love is so intense that in separation, the will to live goes, and they only hang on the thread of life because they love Krishna so much. Even though without Krishna they have no life, they have a sense that Krishna loves them, so they have to stay alive. In fact, when Uddhava came to Vrindavan, and he saw that the residents of Vrindavan, Mother Yasoda, was just in a catatonic state, Nanda Maharaj was in a catatonic state, where is Krishna? And Uddhava came back, and he saw their pitiful condition, and he thought, you know, I love Krishna, but I left work, I'm still alive, but now look at their condition. And he said to him, I'm not a devotee, he said to Nanda Maharaj. And then Nanda Maharaj said, you're a foolish child. You're a foolish child because Dasarath, when Ram left, he died. I'm still alive, so how can I love Krishna? You call that love? But it's more love. Because it would be less pain to die than live without Krishna, but he stays alive. So you have to see sometimes in this Krishna Leela, which represents the height of love, the characters, you know, what they're feeling. When Krishna was in the coils of the Kaliya's serpent, it's described. I was reading in one book called Preo Bhakti Ras. It's a book about the feelings of the cowherd boys, and it's described in the Kaliya Leela. They were near dead. Because this is described, the perfect love is the love that's most intense. And the most intense love is that separation cannot be born. It cannot be bared in the heart. Even Raghunath Das Goswami in Vilap Kushmanjali, it's a very confidential book. Raghunath Das Goswami, Vilap means lamentation, Kushmanjali means to offer a bouquet of lamentations. That was his service. And one of the lamentations, it was the feeling of separation in love. And he said, he was praying to Radharani, he was feeling separation from Radharani, the greatest lover of Krishna. He said with the to Radharani, with the red lack of your lotus feet, please cure this servant of yours who's near dead by the snake bite of separation. It's the analogy. How painful is a snake bite? The separation is there. So when he's about to write this letter, he's afraid that when this letter arrives, basically, it will kill the residents of Vrindavan. There'd be so much disappointment that Krishna hasn't returned yet. And then we had, after writing the letter, you know, showing sympathy to the residents of Vrindavan, then Padmavati, who's kind of like the evil character in this whole drama, she says, they don't have any love for you. They just send you to the forest out every day to take care of the cows. You're just being exploited. So we're at the section. I'm sorry, I almost have to go now. It's an unfortunate day. Where Rohini explains that, no, how can you say it's to glorify this perfect love which is exhibited in this Leela of Krishna. And he says, the love is so great that when Krishna's in the forest, I explained this last time with the cows, how much do they love Krishna? Well, when they see him at a distance, and he's going through the forest, so the forest means there's trees, there's space, there's trees, there's space, there's trees. Every time he passes a tree and they disappear, Krishna disappears, their heart drops. Every time they blink their eyes, their heart drops. When Krishna leaves to the forest, they stand on the trails in separation. So again, Gaura Govinda, the embankments of union, the embankments of separation in Vrindavan, always there to keep the flow of the affection to the height. This is the conception of Krishna Leela, that this perfected love is there and that the drama and the pastimes heighten love to the highest degree. And those who have an aspiration to have that love in their heart, they read and listen to these dramas with faith and understanding, these leelas with faith and understanding, and it affects their heart because they have that same aspiration and they feel it and they feel that devotion. So, and then he described the forest of Vrindavan. Now, the forest of Vrindavan is the setting that inspires that love for Krishna, and then they begin to describe that how beautiful is that forest of Vrindavan. And then we get up to today's verse, where Richard said, having heard all this, the blessed Lord Gopal felt overwrought with worry for his devotees. Scorching anxiety dried up his lotus face. He was filled with dread. So Krishna is actually hearing the level of separation that the residents of Vrindavan are feeling. And he glances at the face of Baladev, who knew all the tidings of Raj, both past and present, and saw that it was covered with tears. And he turns to his brother, who's usually sober, and his brother is just devastated. His own anxiety is increasing. Baladev, the son of Rohini, was unable to keep his composure. Remembering Vraja and understanding his brother's mood, he began crying without control. But then he managed to speak distinctly. So Baladev was unable to control himself. And he began to cry without control, and then he began to speak. Bala said, why speak only about the cows, dear Krishna? All the animals in Vraja are your beloved friends, and so also are the birds and the trees like the Bandara and the Kadamba. So this is the concept of Vrindavan. There's Krishna, the Supreme, and the atmosphere is loving because everyone wants to please Krishna. So it's a perfect unified world. It's like when you have a pond and you throw a stone in the pond. If all the stones hit the center, there's unity. There's concentric circles that flow. If there's different centers, then there's conflict. So God is the perfect center, because there's nothing outside of God. God is everything. He's the real center. And therefore, a world which puts the divine in the center is a world that's unified in love. That's the only way there'll actually be absolute unity. So in Vrindavan, everything is moving in love of Krishna, and because everything is in relationship to Krishna, then everybody loves each other also. And it's described, even the animals have no enmity. The grass, the creepers, the lush bushes have all dedicated their lives to you. Now they are wasting away, and so too are the rivers and mountains. Some of the people, dear brother, live only on the hope that your promises were true. Better you not ask to hear more news than this. I can only tell you, if you don't show your kindness to them soon, Yamaraj will soon show them his. You know, I'm going to do something else today because I just don't, I can't, I don't have time to get into the book. There's just not time to get into that book. So I'll just, I'm giving a lecture today. I'm just going to share it with you what it is very, very briefly, and then I have to go down. I'm really sorry, you know. I got on late. It's just been, it's an amazing day today. So I don't really have time to develop the points and get into it, but I'm going to give a class on gratitude and the importance of gratitude in spiritual life. And I'm first going to give the people a test. I was first going to give the people a test of gratitude. So the test I was going to start with a story. The story was a television show that I saw when I was 9 years old, and it made such an impression on me, I remember it today. And it was a story of about an old pious man that would go to church every day. A very old pious man. He was very, very poor. And then when he went to church, every day, and then he went to heaven, and when he saw God, God asked him, "What do you want?" And he said, "I want a roll in butter." And it was so ironic at the time, it really like struck me. You know, he was with God, he could ask whatever he wants. And he asked for a roll in butter because he was just so poor his whole life. So I was just thinking that the real test would be is if you go to heaven, if you go to God, what would it take you to feel grateful? The highest consciousness is that the presence of God itself is the reward. That actually the real reward is not what you get, but the real reward is what you can give. The real reward is the feeling in your heart to serve. That, you know, that's actually happiness. If that can fill your heart, that's the real blessing. The real blessing is just to have unalloyed love flowing from your heart, because love is actually happiness. So that's actually the blessing that people want. And that's why a spiritual person can always see God's blessings in the world, because he makes a distinction between pleasure and happiness. He makes a distinction between the fulfillment of his attachments and happiness. It's not an absolute correlation that pleasure will be happiness. There's so much pleasure that causes unhappiness, that degrades the mind. He or she sees that happiness is the shape of the mind. And therefore he realizes fully that whatever actually happens to one is actually designed to shape the mind to a higher mode of understanding, perception, and contentment. And therefore, the greatest souls and the greatest difficulties, they're bowing their head in gratitude. In other words, even when things are taken away, they're grateful. What to speak of getting something? Because they're firmly convinced that the only way that I'll ultimately become fulfilled and happy is to become selfless. So the real glory is the ability to feel grateful. In other words, if you're not grateful, you can't feel love. Because no matter what you get, you won't appreciate it. So one, you know, and if one is very, if there's a word called entitlement. When someone has an extraordinary sense of entitlement, they never feel satisfied. And that's why you can see it, because the satisfaction is actually of the heart, and it's only when the heart is feeling loving that a person has a sense of entitlement. Every time he gets something, he's never satisfied, so they want more and more and more and more and more. Because they're never feeling love. They're never feeling gratitude. It's the difference between restaurant and home cooking. When you go, even if you get a good preparation, because you've paid for it and they've charged you as much as they can, you'll get a sensual experience, but you won't get an emotional experience. If that same food is cooked for you, you know, out of love, you know, and out of effort, despite what you, you know, just out of affection, it's not anything that's asked for you, it's just cooked out of love, then it becomes an emotional experience. It becomes really satisfying. And in our spirit, the core, and if you look at the resonance of Vrindavan, they have the ultimate gratitude. Ashli Shiva Padaridam Panastumam Madarshanam. You know, Krishna, you may make me brokenhearted by not being before you. You may make me, you may crush me by your embrace. It doesn't affect. Unfortunately, you know, I have to go right now. I tried to give something. I promise you, tomorrow, next time I give the class, I will be in India. And it's just, these are one of those days, you know, because I'm traveling where I actually traveled this morning to get the place where I'm going and giving a class, and then in between that, it just wasn't time to develop the points of Brihad Bhagavatamrita. What time is it, Gail? 9:41? I just have to go right now. I'm sorry. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.